Who to start and who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? Fantasy Lowdown, a weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Touchdown! Randy Moss! Another spectacular catch by this incredible football player.
And from all around the NFL.
Tomlinson finds a hole and he's on his way again. It's a four touchdowns.
Ask your fantasy questions. Hear from the experts.
We have our own in-house fantasy football geek, I mean guru, right here, Brian Lowe.
Let us be your weekly cheat sheet.
Make sure you tell your friends you heard it on
Fantasy Lowdown with Brian Lowe.
Welcome into the Fantasy Lowdown. We're leading into Week 17, and the Patriots are in the mix for the playoff hunt, and we hope that you are in the mix for your fantasy league championship as well. I am not, but that doesn't mean I can't give you my quote-unquote expert advice and expert opinion leading up to this week. Now, a lot of fantasy leagues are all done, and maybe you had your championship week last week. Hope you came through that okay, and if your league goes all the way through Week 17, good luck to you. Now, the thing about Week 17, the reason why a lot of leagues don't go this far is because so many teams tend to, if they're locked into a playoff spot or if they're completely out of the playoffs, you know, they might rest certain guys, guys who are injured but maybe less than 100% won't play, whereas they would if there was a lot more on the line. Teams that are completely out of it might give their second string quarterback an opportunity, you know, backup running backs, and maybe they won't play their defensive studs, and that affects the fantasy side of things too. So rather than you know, deal with all that, a lot of fantasy leagues wrap things up by week 16. So that's where we stand right now, and you know, certainly some teams are some leagues are still alive, and we've got a few emails already in from some people who have some questions to go for this week. Now, we're coming to you a little earlier in the week. It is a holiday on Thursday, so we're stepping aside for that day, but it's still important to us that we bring you your fantasy advice, fantasy tips, and give you your outlet to discuss the fantasy world here on this Tuesday. And as it turns out, this will be, you know, the final Fantasy Lowdown episode of this season, and we'll maybe cook up some things in the off season, and hopefully get right back to it next year, the 2009 season, which, hey, off seasons go by fast. We'll be right back at it, but certainly for right now, wrapping things up right now for the 2008 season. But you can email us in at webradio@patriots.com. Over the next hour, we'll be here till 5 o'clock discussing fantasy world right now. To kick things off, let's usually we go through the more recent week and some of the fantasy studs of that week and each category, each position. But I thought for today we'd maybe go through, you know, some of the top guys at each position for the entire year and who are some of these consistent performers. And, you know, maybe we'll touch on some of the bigger disappointments as well. And you can send us your thoughts if you have any on what we're talking about here at webradio@patriots.com. So starting out with quarterback, you know, there's really a clear-cut number one as far as all the stats go, and his team didn't have a great year, a really disappointing year in New Orleans. But Drew Brees, the yardage leader in the NFL at close to 4,700, he's got a chance, actually a fairly decent chance this week to get to the 5,000-yard mark, 4,683 right now and 30 touchdowns. I had him in one of my leagues. I actually traded for him early in the year, a trade that really worked out well for me. I dealt Ben Roethlisberger and Michael Turner for Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger and Frank Gore for Drew Brees and Michael Turner. Now, at the time, I figured, and so did the person I was trading with, that I was getting the better end of the quarterback deal, and he was getting the better end of the running back deal. Michael Turner had started out strong. He had one, I believe it was one really good week, and then one poor week for Atlanta, and it was around that time that we made the trade. But I've had Drew Brees in my team in the past, and I felt, hey, this is really one of the most consistent fantasy performers, and certainly the most consistent fantasy quarterback is the way I felt. And, you know, he didn't have a huge run there down the stretch, but early on he was immense. And leading the way right now. 16 interceptions, although a little high. One of the leaders in interceptions, actually, on the year, certainly among top quarterbacks. So that was unfortunate there. But a handful of other guys at over 4,000 yards. Kurt Warner, the NFC Pro Bowl starter with 4,300, 26 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. So a really solid year. You wouldn't know it by watching him perform this past Sunday, but a great year nonetheless. And Jay Cutler will put him up there, too, as far as over 4,000 yards. And he had 24 touchdowns on the year. Now, the touchdown pass leader was Philip Rivers, 32 touchdowns and only 11 interceptions, a really good ratio for Rivers, and he had just over 3,800 yards. And when I say this, obviously there's still another week to go. So a really good shot for Rivers to get over 4,000 yards. And Peyton Manning, you know, he comes out, you know, doesn't really play in the preseason. He's got an injury and some speculation. Maybe he'll be slowed in those first couple weeks. No, he's going to hit 4,000 yards again. He's over 3,900 right now, 26 touchdowns and 12 interceptions. We'll give a nod to Aaron Rodgers as well, 37-30 on the yardage, 25 TDs and 13 interceptions. Some big years right there. And as far as who among them would really be considered a surprise, not really any of them. I guess Kurt Warner pretty much, but some really young up-and-coming stars in the NFL and certainly in fantasy-wise. And if you have any of those guys, a Breeze, a Rodgers, a Rivers, a Cutler, and you're in a keeper league, hey, the future's bright for those guys. Peyton Manning, hey, he keeps on churning. So you got to give him the nod there. Now, right here in our backyard, Matt Cassel. What a remarkable story, really. What a remarkable story. Not only does he come on in the first week, those first couple of weeks, you know, he was managing the team pretty well, that word manage, but not a lot of fantasy production. 100-something yards each game, no touchdowns and a pick, or maybe a touchdown and a pick. But what a run he had there in November and right now in December. He's at 3,615 yards. So an outside shot at hitting 4,000 yards on the season. He needs, you know, close to 400, which he's done a couple times this year, 21 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. A remarkable year, and he'll most likely get his opportunity somewhere next year as a starter, and probably won't be here. A few other high yardage guys, Donovan McNabb really coming into his own and inching close to 4,000 yards as well, and 21 touchdowns there. Tony Romo, 3,265 yards, 26 touchdowns, so really high touchdowns, not immense yardage, but pretty good nonetheless. In my opinion, now, Matt Ryan and Joe Flacco had very good years, decent fantasy years, but very good NFL quarterback years. And as first-round quarterbacks, that was pretty good. But when it comes to surprises this year, there's a couple different categories. There's the Jeff Garcia category, a guy who, you know, he's one of several possibilities, and he comes across and has a decent year. I'm going to give the nod to Kyle Orton as one of my fantasy surprises at quarterback. He's going to end up with 3,000 yards, which isn't huge, but 16 touchdowns is pretty remarkable right there for him. And a guy I really liked as well was Sean Hill. Not a lot of yardage, but 12 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. And the most disappointing, I think, has to be Mark Bulger. Mark Bulger, 2,490 yards, 10 touchdowns, 13 interceptions, and which is really terrible for what really was a terrible year there for the St. Louis Rams. And Mark Bulger signs a huge contract and comes back with just a terrible year. So there's a quick look at quarterback. We're going to sort of intersperse the look at each of the positions this week as we go by. Going to mix in a few emails as well, and let's get started right here with Paul from London. For the last time this season, hi, B-Low and Dan. Just for the record, Paul, Dan not with us here today. We got Jason. Not a bad alternative. Jason does a good job. Dan, you know, they're both sort of, you know, I don't know, fantasy football, you know, they're in the mix. They enjoy fantasy sports. I don't know if they're passionate. You wouldn't call yourself a geek, Jason, would you? You can give me a nod if you can. No, okay. So Jason's not a fantasy geek like the host of this show, but that's all right. Paul says, I made the championship game in week 17 in my league, and all the while wasting a bench spot on Brady. Well, hey, if it's keeper league, you're going to want to keep that guy around. Although I'm gutted as I was so tempted by Lamont Jordan. Who would have replaced Fitzgerald? He would have replaced Fitzgerald in the flex, but you can't have everything your way. Winning by 93 points can only be good. With it being in week 17, there will obviously be some players taking a break, but here's my team and three waiver claims at the bottom. All right. Quarterback, he's got Cutler, Schaub, and Brady. Cutler's your guy there. Running back, Chris Johnson, Sammy Morris, Brandon Jacobs. If you're going with two of them, you're going Johnson and Morris this week because Brandon Jacobs, good chance he doesn't play at all for the Giants who have nothing to play for. Wideouts, Moss, Fitzgerald, Welker. If you start all three, Paul, and I don't remember, but those are great three. You're going to want all three. If you only start two of the three, my guess is you're going to want to go Fitzgerald. Arizona and Ken Wisenhunt has said he's going to go with all their main guys, and they're at home against Seattle, so should be a big one for Fitzgerald. Between Moss and Welker, you're probably going to get that consistent points per reception production out of Welker. Maybe he finds the end zone again, the big play possibility with Moss. But I would say that Welker might be the better bet. Tight end Chris Cooley, you're fine there. Kicker Gostkowski, you're fine there. Defense and special teams Baltimore, although I'm hoping for minus points in Week 17 here from a Patriot outlook. I understand what you're saying. Okay, my three waiver claims. Antonio Bryant replacing Dominic Hixon. LaRon McClain replacing Tatum Bell. DeSean Jackson replacing Tashard Choice. Interesting thoughts there. Tatum Bell, I sort of like this week. Denver going against San Diego. They're at San Diego. He's their guy. They've had seven running backs go on injured reserve, Paul. But I like Tatum Bell a lot. Probably more so than LaRon McClain this week, maybe. Although LaRon McClain's been doing pretty well. Actually, you know what? Actually, now that I think about it, I think LaRon McClain might be the better bet. But DeSean Jackson replacing Tashard Choice, I'm not quite sure about that one. I like Tashard Choice a lot. Revolves around Marion Barber and his workload. But, you know, if you want to, you know, maintain a little more of a balance at wide receiver, have a few other options, I see where you're going with there with DeSean Jackson. As always, I may change my tight end for someone in with a chance of the playoffs. Anyway, thanks for your help all this year, Brian. Much appreciated, especially if I win the final. Hope to hear your Keeper League help in the summer, and hopefully I can boast about being the champion after starting out 1-3. Merry Christmas to you, and let's hope the new year brings us all a Super Bowl. Thanks, Paul from London. Paul, it's been a pleasure to help you out this year. Hopefully we have, and you've been a consistent emailer. We thank you very much, Paul, and good luck here in week number 17 for you. A few other thoughts here as we progress here on the fantasy lowdown. I was looking at one of my sites, one of my favorite sites, rotoworld.com, and their rankings for this week aren't up yet. Usually by the time we come on the air on Thursday, they are, but not so much right now. But some interesting thoughts when it comes to, you know, stardom or sit 'em this week and some of these teams who are locked into playoff spots or who are eliminated. And this is Chris Wessling, who writes about a few, you know, a few notes. Giants coach Tom Coughlin intends to play most of his starters in Week 17 against the Vikings. Brandon Jacobs, however, is a candidate to spend most of the game on the sidelines. As Sunday gets closer, expect Coughlin to hedge a bit on key players with injuries. So, in other words, the plan right now is that most of his starters will play. Eli Manning, you know, Kevin Boss, Dominic Hixon, Derek Ward had a massive game the other day in case Brandon Jacobs doesn't go. So Jacobs, who's been battling an injury, is sort of the key one to keep an eye on there. Cardinals coach Ken Whisenhunt indicated that he will play his starters against the Seahawks this week. He doesn't have much of an option. Whisenhunt's reeling Arizona squad desperately needs a taste of success heading into the playoffs. Hey, after what they did the other day here in New England, you don't want to go into the playoffs on that sour of a note, especially offensively in the passing game, which has been so good this year. So looks like Whisenhunt is going to try to get his team on a bit of a roll. And as I said, they host Seattle, so there's an opportunity there to get a W. They already know, they've known for a couple weeks, that they're hosting a game in the first round of the playoffs. So you know they're locked in to a spot there, number four. Or three or four. But it looks like Anquan Boldin will be back. Larry Fitzgerald will play. And then I guess that means Tim Hightower will be your main guy at running back. According to Titans coach Jeff Fisher, there's a pretty good chance former Golden Boy Vince Young plays this week against the Colts. Fisher added that most starters would play, but I wouldn't expect them to remain in the game past the first half. So Tennessee locked into that number one seed. They'll have the bye, so Jeff Fisher looking at maybe giving a few guys an extra week of rest or some rest, which is interesting. Now, one team that's always fascinating this time of year is Indianapolis. Here's what Chris Wessling says. The always conservative Tony Dungy said he wouldn't scale back too much and that he's mainly concerned with protecting, quote, the guys who are a little banged up, so the guys who are iffy probably won't play. You'll have to excuse me if I call the good man a liar. This is Chris Wessling talking. He's going to scale back all right. If history is any indication, expect Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne to play about two series this week before exiting. So, again, Indianapolis is another team with nothing to play for. They're locked into the fifth seed, which means they're going either to San Diego or to Denver, depending on the winner of that Sunday night game, and they'll have nothing to play for. And it's not like they have the bye and they're going to have that next week to rest. This would be their opportunity to rest if that's what Tony Dungy is looking to do. It's come back to haunt him in years past a couple times. But it looks like maybe Peyton Manning plays maybe somewhere between two series and the first half. Joseph Addai, who's battled injuries, maybe doesn't get a huge workload. this could, I'm not saying pick up Jim Sorgi, But this could be the kind of game where, you know, Anthony Gonzalez is a major, major part of the offense if Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison don't play much. So some interesting thoughts there as far as who's going to play this week, who's not going to play. And like I said at the top, that's a problem with Week 17 in fantasy leagues. You just don't know sometimes what some of these coaches' mindsets are going to be if they're already locked into a spot. Very interesting there from Chris Wessling of RotoWorld.com. Let's take a look right now at the running back position and how things have gone this year. And it's staggering to see, based on where things started, where the year started and where we are now, that D'Angelo Williams is really looking to maybe have the best year for a running back in the NFL right now. 1,340 yards, 18 touchdowns. He leads the league with those 18 touchdowns and, you know, in that top six, top eight range as far as yardage. But he's on such a ridiculous streak, D'Angelo Williams with Carolina. To get to 18 touchdowns on the year right now, think about this. Since their bye, which they had in Week 9, from Week 10 to Week 16, here have been his game-by-game touchdown totals. 1, 2, 1, 4, 2, 1, 4. He's going, 3, 6, 8 straight games with a touchdown, and among them, 2 games with 4. He's got 11 touchdown runs over the last 4 games. Just remarkable. And they're not playing slouches. Last week, 4 touchdowns against the Giants in a game the Giants needed and ended up winning. Against Tampa in Week 14, 186 yards and 2 touchdowns that Monday night game. Against Green Bay the week before, 4 touchdowns. Green Bay was still alive at the time. The previous week against Atlanta, 100 yards and a touchdown. Against Arizona in Week 8, 108 yards and a touchdown. Just a remarkable resurgence there for D'Angelo Williams. So we give him the nod right now as far as the fantasy stud at running back. Michael Turner was probably the most consistent guy. Michael Turner and probably Brandon Jacobs, the most consistent performers. Michael Turner nearing 1,500 yards. He will get that. He only needs 9 and 16 touchdowns. Thomas Jones, a quietly consistent year, nearly 1,300 yards and 13 touchdowns. Brandon Jacobs, over 1,000 yards and 15 touchdowns, slowed a little bit in recent weeks, but that 15 touchdown total is huge. And then you've got, you know, Adrian Peterson. We're not going to forget about him. He only has 9 touchdowns. I say only relative to some of these other guys, but he's closing in on 1,700 yards. So he has an opportunity maybe to even hit that 1,800-yard mark if he has 143 this week. Then you got the rookies. I should mention Clinton Portis first, 1,400 yards and 8 touchdowns. You've got the rookies, though, and what a year it was for rookie running backs. Chris Johnson, over 1,200 yards, 9 touchdowns. Steve Slayton, over 1,100 yards, nearing 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns. Kevin Smith, 884 yards, 7 touchdowns. I know I have Matt Forte right here. Matt Forte, almost 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns. And Kevin Smith, I mentioned. Jonathan Stewart, 777 yards, 9 touchdowns in tandem there with D'Angelo Williams. Some absolutely monstrous numbers out of rookie running backs this year as we see guys like LaDainian Tomlinson start to slide. We've seen in recent years Rudy Johnson, Sean Alexander, some of these guys start to slide. We know that running backs have a short shelf life. It's really amazing this year how many star rookie running backs there are, some of whom have completely taken on the workload for their team, like a Matt Forte, others who are in tandem, like Chris Johnson and Jonathan Stewart. And, you know, Chris Johnson's running mate there, Lendale White, 15 touchdowns this year, only 748 yards, but, you know, getting a lot of goal line carries. And then we look at some of these guys like Forte, who's got 452 yards and 4 touchdowns on the receiving side. Maurice Jones-Drew, who has 12 touchdowns rushing, 555 yards and 2 touchdowns receiving. Brian Westbrook, 886 yards rushing, 9 touchdowns, and then 390 yards receiving and 5 touchdowns. Pierre Thomas coming on strong there at the end. 625 yards and 9 touchdowns, 284 yards receiving and 3 touchdowns. I will say that the most disappointing guy has got to be LaDainian Tomlinson because he was the number one guy in a lot of leagues. Runner-up in that category, Steven Jackson. And no coincidence, same as Mark Bulger there with St. Louis. Jackson missed a handful of games in the middle of the season, but only 5 touchdowns on the year. And for a guy who was a first-round pick, that was a disappointment. And then Joseph Addai is another one who I had in my one of my teams. Just a sad year for him from injury and from production point of view. That game against Houston about 4 or 5 weeks ago was really the only highlight. He had two touchdowns, one rushing, one receiving, but a pretty down year for him. But really, the year of the rookie running back for sure. And all those guys are keeper possibilities, just about all of them that I rattled off. And they'll all be studs probably next year and for a few years still to come. Webradio at patriots.com is our email address. We're here to take your emails. We've got one more. We've got a couple more still to get to, but there's certainly room for you here as well. We're going to keep going position by position, sort of recapping the year, and a few other news and notes around the world of fantasy football. We'll be right back after this on the Fantasy Lowdown.
Like the Patriots? Like winning stuff? Join the VXP program from Verizon. The same company that always delivers the Patriots to you through RazorShop Fios, blazing fast internet, and in-depth mobile content is now delivering you to the Patriots. I'm talking about field passes, stadium tours, luxury boxes. Want to watch a game from the press box? How about the sideline? Don't like the sound of your own voice? Have a Patriots player leave your outgoing voicemail. That's the level of access I'm talking about here, folks, and it's all a part of the program. So how do you become a VXP? It's simple. Just text VXP Play to 51500 or go to v-xp.com for an entry form. For a chance to win, just answer some Pat's trivia. That's it. There's a new prize every day through December 28th. Text VXP Play to 51500 or register at v-xp.com. The VXP program from Verizon. Victory comes to those who play. No purchase necessary. Void in Florida. Promotion ends 12/28/08. Play daily from noon to 8 p.m. Eastern. Must be 18. Official rules at v-xp.com.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you'd need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
So, Sarah, how's your holiday shopping coming along? I don't know about you, but I haven't even started.
Holiday shopping? I took care of that last week. Went to Patriot Place in Foxborough.
I've heard of Patriot Place. There's a ton of stores, restaurants, a movie theater. But you got all of your shopping done at one place?
Yep. Took care of the kids list at Hollister and Life is Good. Greg's gonna be psyched with the gear I got at Bass Pro, Circuit City, and the Patriots Pro Shop. Bought my mom some really great stuff at Christmas tree shops. And I had to treat myself at Victoria's Secret. Oh, and I stopped in for a facial and a massage at Green Tangerine Salon.
So shopping and relaxing? Now you're talking. It looks like my holiday shopping might just be at Patriot Place.
I told you, the holiday shopping for them and a little something for me.
Visit patriot-place.com for Santa's schedule, holiday hours, events, and more. Parking is free with convenient valet and shuttle service available daily. Donate a new or gently used coat to make a child's holiday warmer at any store. Proceeds benefit Cradles to Crayons. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
Welcome back to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. It's the Fantasy Lowdown where we simply help people win championships. That's really what it comes down to. We help people win championships. fantasy championships. This is from Matt. B-Lo, your Sean Hill call last week proved to be a good one this weekend as I was able to capture the title. Well, actually, it was more thanks to the garbage touchdown that Larry Fitzgerald scored. Either way, despite being overmatched, I pulled out the six-point victory. Since my season, well, first of all, Matt, congratulations. We'll take, I don't know, maybe a quarter credit, maybe a third credit, something like that.
I think you got to take more than that. He's emailed you every single week.
Yeah, Matt has emailed me every single week, and I think we've aced the questions. I mean, I think we've given him the perfect advice each and every week, and without this, without the help of the Fantasy Lowdown, I think Matt would be in the bottom of his league.
Unless he went against your picks every week, and that's the reason he won.
Ooh, Jason, you're raining on my parade here. Come on, man. This is a Fantasy Lowdown
hero. I know, Dan
hero.
Wouldn't have said that, right?
Dan would not have said that. Where's Dan? Where's Dan? Bring back Dan. What, did he get vacation or something? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Anyways, Matt, congratulations to you. We're happy to help. We hope we truly have been of some help. And, hey, what can we say? We won you a championship. If you have a trophy, let me carry it and make it like the Stanley Cup. You know, someone can carry it around for a couple days, everybody who's involved. Matt continues here. Since my season is over, I don't have any questions regarding this weekend's game, but I do have one last question for you that will hold me over until next season. I'm in a keeper league and looking towards next year. Who do you think I should hang on to? I can keep three of the following players. Love these kinds of questions, Matt. Here we go. Here is eight possible guys. You can keep three of them. At quarterback, Sean Hill and Matt Schaub. Running backs, Ryan Grant and Marshawn Lynch. Wide receivers, Larry Fitzgerald, Steve Smith of Carolina, and Dwayne Bowe. And then the Eagles defense. And here's what Matt says. Right now, I'm leaning towards going with Fitzgerald, Smith, and either Grant or Lynch. I'd keep a quarterback, but even in a deep league, I should be able to get someone in the draft. I mean, I won the league with Sean Hill, who wasn't even a starter at the time of this year's draft. Thanks for all your fantasy insight. It's helped me gain bragging rights until next season. That should be our slogan, Jason. The Fantasy Lowdown, where you gain bragging rights.
Championship.
There you go. I think next year that's what it's going to be called. Fantasy Lowdown, where you can gain bragging rights. I got to tweak it a little bit. Tighten it up a little
make
bit.
Make it easier for yourself to say.
Yeah, I know. I can't even. I'll have to say it. Can you say it five times fast? It's either going to be the Fantasy Lowdown where you win championships or the Fantasy Lowdown where you gain bragging rights. Probably bragging rights because that's really what it comes down to with fantasy sports. It's nice to winning the title and you know, gaining whatever tangible you know trophy you get. In one of my leagues, we actually get a football. Someone engraves it. It's really the bragging rights is really what it comes down to. And the football offseason is pretty long and longer than, you know, other sports. So, you know, right now you've got a solid 8 months. You've got a solid 8 months, which is kind of depressing to think that we're 8 months away. We still have 8 months before the next season starts. But you've got 8 months before your next season begins. So if you can win a title, you know, that's huge for bragging rights. Anyways, on to Matt's actual question here about who he should hang on to. I could not agree with him more on the quarterbacks. First of all, I'm high on Sean Hill. Long term, I think he's going to be San Francisco's quarterback next year, and here's why. They simply cannot afford to take a quarterback in the first round of the playoffs after what happened with Alex Smith. So they're not going to take a quarterback high. There'd be too much pressure on that guy and too much room for error. Maybe they bring in veteran du jour, whether that's, you know, probably not Jeff Garcia, but someone like Jeff Garcia. Maybe Alex Smith actually still is in the mix. I doubt it. But I think Sean Hill has shown enough, and of course it depends on who the coach is there and who the GM is there. I think Sean Hill has shown enough that he should go into next season as the front runner. But that being the case, you cannot, in good faith, keep Sean Hill. You could get Sean Hill in the draft next year or a Sean Hill type in the draft next year. You don't keep him. Matt Schaub, you know, he's got Andre Johnson, and that's really, you can't ask for much better from a wide receiver. But I don't really think Matt Schaub is a consistent enough performer, NFL-wise or fantasy-wise, to be legitimately considered a keeper. So I don't really like either of these possibilities at quarterback, Matt, as far as keepers. And I agree with you that you could go into next year's draft thinking, you know what, I'm going to take a quarterback somewhere in that third, fourth, fifth round, you know, perch. Maybe a Matt Cassel, for instance, someone who, you know, he's probably going to have a change of scenery, and could be, you know, on some team's radar, you know, maybe Donovan McNabb, someone in that category, and then scan the waiver wire or take a shot at a Sean Hill again or a Tyler Thigpen or someone, one of these up-and-coming guys or a rookie like Matt Ryan or Joe Flacco of this year, and fill in the holes there. And if worst case scenario, you can find that Sean Hill later in the season. So I couldn't agree with you more there. Also, as we do process of elimination, I'm going to eliminate the Eagles defense. I'd eliminate virtually any defense. Maybe Baltimore, maybe Pittsburgh would be exceptions. But defense is such a week-to-week proposition that I'm almost of the mindset that when you go into a draft and you don't get one of the top drafts in the top defenses in the entire league, take a team that has a couple of favorable matchups early and then go, maybe not week-to-week, but at least go, don't plan on having one defense all year is basically what I'm saying, unless you have a Tennessee, a Baltimore, a Pittsburgh, something like that. So let's eliminate Sean Hill, eliminate Matt Schaub, eliminate Eagles defense, which leaves us with the following five. Ryan Grant, Marshawn Lynch, Larry Fitzgerald, Steve Smith, Dwayne Bowe. So you got five right there. The one lock would be Larry Fitzgerald. I think Larry Fitzgerald is a great wide receiver. Most likely is Kurt Warner back with him next year. And he's going to be there in a good offense. He's a younger guy. There's no doubt right there. I would keep Larry Fitzgerald. My number two closest to a lock among your guys here would be Marshawn Lynch. And I say Lynch over Grant. I don't really like Grant. I think Grant is a little overrated. Had an excellent second half of the year last year. Was drafted too high this year. But I'd rather see you take, say, a rookie next year in the draft, Matt, in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round. I don't know who that guy is going to be, but there were eight or so rookies worth having on your team this year. I'd rather you keep Marshawn Lynch, who I think is going to continue to produce. He hasn't had that monster year, maybe, that we thought he might have, but he's been very good. He produces, and even though that Buffalo offense has staggered down the stretch, that team has staggered down the stretch, I like their prospects for having a bounce-back year, at least at this vantage point right now. I'd go Larry Fitzgerald for sure. I'd go Marshawn Lynch for sure. And I feel like I'm a little torn between Steve Smith and Dwayne Bowe. Steve Smith I respect almost as much as any wide receiver out there. He's consistent. He's one of the top guys each and every week. And, it seems like he has good rhythm with Jake Delhomme. But Dwayne Bowe is really one of the up-and-coming stars. I mean, what he was able to do and have a productive year with the mishmash of quarterbacks that they had. I mean, Tyler Thigpen has come on strong. But what Dwayne Bowe has been able to do with not a lot of good help from his wide receivers has been pretty impressive. 919 yards, 7 touchdowns. So he's going to probably top 1,000 yards and have, say, 8 touchdowns on a very, very bad team. That's not bad. He's up and coming. But you know what? I've got to go with Steve Smith if you're going to keep another guy. You might not feel like he's a keeper for multiple years, but I think Steve Smith is a top two, first two rounds guy, even in next year's draft. So, Matt, long story short here, I've got three guys for you. Larry Fitzgerald, Marshawn Lynch, Steve Smith. Those are the guys I would keep out of your eight right there. I'd like to see if you agree. I'd be happy to hear if you're able to check in again by email over these next 20 minutes, webradio@patriots.com. Let me know if that's, if you agree there. What you said was you're leaning towards Fitzgerald Smith and either Grant or Lynch, so I guess mostly on that Grant-Lynch question right there. You got to tell me, do you agree right there? Matt, all the best. Thanks for your questions over the course of the year, and, hope we've helped, and hope we can continue to help you with some keepers there. All right, let's continue on here with some of our position-by-position analysis, and we'll go to wide receiver, which we've just talked about a little bit. A handful of guys had more than 10 touchdowns, five guys. The aforementioned Larry Fitzgerald for Arizona, 10 touchdowns, 1,300 yards. His teammate, Anquan Boldin, was the leader, 11, tied with Randy Moss with 11. Boldin with just over 1,000 yards. Randy Moss just under 1,000 yards, but with a week to go, I guess that's a good little battle there. Which guy will have the most touchdowns and which guy will have the most yards there? The high yardage guy, Andre Johnson, 1,400 yards. Let me just get back to a couple more 10-touchdown guys. Terrell Owens, 10 touchdowns, 949 yards. And Calvin Johnson for Detroit, 10 touchdowns, 1,229 yards. And I mentioned Dwayne Bowe, impressive year with not a great team around him. How about Calvin Johnson? What about those numbers? On a horrible team, an historically horrible team with abysmal quarterback play. That's not bad. So Andre Johnson, 1,400 yards and 6 touchdowns. Greg Jennings, nearing 1,200 yards and 9 touchdowns. And how about this guy, as far as the surprise in a positive way performer, Roddy White, 1,300 yards and 6 touchdowns, catching passes from a rookie, Matt Ryan, who had just a sensational year. So Roddy White, probably the surprise performer at wide receiver. And Steve Smith, who we mentioned, nearing 1,300 yards, 6 touchdowns. Loved what Antonio Bryant did, 7 touchdowns, nearing 1,200 yards. Reggie Wayne, yet another 1,000-yard season. Vincent Jackson, emerging guy in San Diego, over 1,000 yards. And Brandon Marshall started out gangbusters, finishes with 1,200 yards and 6 touchdowns. And then, of course, Wes Welker here in New England, over 1,100 yards, only the 3 touchdowns, which, as far as stud wide receivers go, it's pretty low. But he's going to be the leader probably in receptions. So if you have a point per reception league, 109, you figure he's probably going to have at least 115 on the year. Certainly the best 2-year total in the NFL this year. So that's pretty good right there. You'd have to say the most disappointing wide receiver in fantasy this year is Braylon Edwards. So many drops. 872 yards, so unlikely he gets to 1,000 yards. Only 3 touchdowns. And certainly based on the expectations for Braylon Edwards and that Cleveland offense, a dismal, dismal campaign for Edwards. So a lot to be concerned about there if you have Braylon Edwards on your team. If you're interested in maybe having him as a keeper, not very good. Got to like the, you're like Derek Mason. He's probably going to hit 1,000 yards. He's at 960 right now and 5 touchdowns. Isaac Bruce with a bit of a resurgence, 827 yards and 7 touchdowns. And I mentioned Dwayne Bowe earlier. He's got a chance at 1,000 yards here in his second year and 7 touchdowns. So definitely an interesting year at wideout. A lot of the studs that you know year in and year out are going to be hyper, top performers were Bolden, Fitzgerald, Randy Moss, Owens to a certain extent, and Reggie Wayne. And then you've got some of the emerging guys, Brandon Marshall, Vincent Jackson, we'll include Wes Welker in that group, Roddy White, Greg Jennings. The quietly consistent guys, Steve Smith, Andre Johnson, are certainly in that mix. And, depending on how many wideouts you have on your team, it's hard if you get to 3-4 wideouts if you have to start that many because, there's only so many to go around. And you just don't know week to week who's going to be targeted the most. But some interesting plays there in wide receiver this year. So maybe you had some of those studs. Maybe you had to deal with some disappointing guys. I had Roddy White on one of my teams. Pleasantly surprised, obviously, right there. We look real quick at tight ends. And no surprise that Tony Gonzalez is right there at the top, both in terms of yardage, in terms of receptions, in terms of touchdowns. 91 catches, 1,005 yards, 9 touchdowns. He most likely, barring anything unforeseen, will be the leader among tight ends in all of those categories this year. Other guys who had huge years, Antonio Gates again, 655 yards, 8 touchdowns. Dallas Clark, 789 yards, 6 touchdowns. Jason Witten, 902 yards and 4 touchdowns. He, however, is questionable this week. He may not be playing for Dallas, so those might be his grand totals for this year. From a positive perspective, I was most impressed with John Carlson, the rookie in Seattle. I've mentioned him a bunch of times over the course of the year. 613 yards, 5 touchdowns, a lot of those down the stretch with Seneca Wallace at quarterback. So I was very, very impressed with him. And also Anthony Fasano, who had kind of a coming out party against the Patriots in that week 3 in the Wildcat game. 415 yards, not a huge total, but 6 touchdowns. And then from a disappointment perspective, I'm going to go with a tie here between Heath Miller and Kellen Winslow. Very similar stats. So from a fantasy perspective, they were right on the target. Both had 3 touchdowns. Both had in that 400 and just over between 400 and 460 yards. So very disappointing there. And I guess we'll keep Jeremy Shockey in that mix. More injury reasons for him, but doesn't score once in his first year in New Orleans. New Orleans giving up, I believe it was a second-round pick to the world champion Giants for a grand total of 483 yards and no touchdowns. So that's our look there at tight end. Webradio at patriots.com, that is our email address. Here is where we're down the stretch of the final Fantasy Lowdown episode of this season. Hope we've been of some help to you, as we have to Matt Haley and others who have emailed us in this year, who are vying for a title or who have reached the championships in their league. We have another email here. Kevin in St. Mary's, Georgia, who's sent us emails all the way through the season. Hi, Brian. Well, I won my league, the New Guys League, which is one of the PFW fantasy football leagues. Congratulations to you, Kevin. I squeaked out a win this past weekend over Mike Parenti. The Tampa Bay defense actually gave me -3 points. And I do remember, Kevin, I said that you should go Tampa Bay defense over San Diego. They played each other. I thought that was a gimme. I was proven wrong there. Sorry about that, but good to know that you made it through that. Tampa Bay defense actually gave me -3 points, but that wasn't too rough on me overall. That was the first week that you actually gave me bad advice starting the Tampa defense over the San Diego defense, but I will say that it sounded reasonable at the time, so I can't blame you. Hey, like I said, you do what you say, what you think at the time. That was a bad one, but again, I think going in, how could you take the San Diego defense going up against Tampa? You helped me out over the season. I appreciate it. Happy holidays, and I hope you do the show again next season. Kevin, thank you. Congrats on winning your league, and we should be back next year doing the Fantasy Lowdown again. I'm going to take a quick break before we wrap it up and take a look at some of these final positions and just give some final thoughts here and set you up maybe a little bit for the offseason and some keepers. This is the Fantasy Lowdown on Patriots.com Radio.
Like the Patriots? Like winning stuff? Join the VXP program from Verizon. The same company that always delivers the Patriots to you through RazorShop Fios, blazing fast internet, and in-depth mobile content is now delivering you to the Patriots. I'm talking about field passes, stadium tours, luxury boxes. Want to watch a game from the press box? How about the sideline? Don't like the sound of your own voice? Have a Patriots player leave your outgoing voicemail. That's the level of access I'm talking about here, folks, and it's all a part of the program. So how do you become a VXP? It's simple. Just text VXP Play to 51500 or go to v-xp.com for an entry form. For a chance to win, just answer some Pat's trivia. That's it. There's a new prize every day through December 28th. Text VXP Play to 51500 or register at v-xp.com. The VXP program from Verizon. Victory comes to those who play. No purchase necessary. Void in Florida. Promotion ends 12/28/08. Play daily from noon to 8 p.m. Eastern. Must be 18. Official rules at v-xp.com.
We know you have a busy day ahead of you, and mornings are always tough to get through. So stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts today and grab a freshly ground, freshly brewed Dunkin' Donuts coffee. It's the perfect thing to get you going in the morning. Dunkin' Donuts coffee is made with real Arabica beans, which give it that rich flavor everybody loves. And while you're there, try the new egg white flatbread sandwich from the new DD Smart Menu. Choose from two delicious varieties, turkey sausage or veggie. Both served on multi-grain bread. With under 300 calories, you can now make a smarter choice for breakfast. So, stop into your local Dunkin' Donuts today and try one with a medium hot coffee for only $3.99. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes. Limited time offer.
What do I love at Qdoba Mexican Grill?
I love this Qdoba Catering.
If you've got a group of folks to feed, Qdoba Catering is totally the way to go.
You've got the hot taco bar.
The hot nacho bar.
The hot naked burrito bar.
Did I mention that they're hot?
I make the phone call and they take care of everything.
People come and they
just help themselves.
They come with everything you need to feed a group of hungry people.
Marinated grilled chicken and beef.
Three kinds of salsa.
Fresh lettuce.
Guacamole.
Cookies and
brownies.
Homemade tortilla chips.
Everything.
Oh, we get Qdoba Catering for all kinds of different occasions.
Tailgate parties.
Soccer games.
Birthday parties.
Baby shower. For my son's graduation. Party. It's perfect for office meetings.
You open the door to the conference room, you get the smell of Qdoba.
Hot bars are totally unique.
It's incredible. People love it. It's fresh.
Affordable.
That's the easy way to plan a party.
That's what I love about Qdoba Mexican Grill.
That's what I love about Qdoba Catering.
Have a group to feed? Order a hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering and give them food they'll never forget. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Big games mean big parties. Feed 20 or more of your friends with a Qdoba hot taco, nacho, or naked burrito bar from Qdoba Catering. It's fast, fresh, and budget-friendly. Now with 16 Massachusetts locations, opening September at Patriot Place in Kenmore Square. Full menu available at Qdoba.com.
So, Sarah, how's your holiday shopping coming along? I don't know about you, but I haven't even started.
Holiday shopping? I took care of that last week. Went to Patriot Place in Foxborough.
I've heard of Patriot Place. There's a ton of stores, restaurants, a movie theater. But you got all of your shopping done at one place?
Yep. Took care of the kids list at Hollister and Life is Good. Greg's going to be psyched with the gear I got at Bass Pro, Circuit City, and the Patriots Pro Shop. Bought my mom some really really great stuff at Christmas tree shops, and I had to treat myself at Victoria's Secret. Oh, and I stopped in for a facial and a massage at Green Tangerine Salon.
So shopping and relaxing? Now you're talking. It looks like my holiday shopping might just be at Patriot Place.
I told you, the holiday shopping for them and a little something for me.
Visit patriot-place.com for Santa's schedule, holiday hours, events, and more. Parking is free with convenient valet and shuttle service available daily. Donate a new or gently used coat to make a child's holiday warmer at any store. Proceeds benefit Cradles to Crayons. At Patriot Place, everyone wins.
It's week 17 in the NFL season. It's championship week in some fantasy leagues. The Fantasy Lowdown is here to get you set for this week. We're going through different positions, position by position, and talking about the best seasons around the league. So real quick, we wrap it up with defense. And there's really the big three, in my opinion, and then there was everyone else. Baltimore, Tennessee, and Pittsburgh. As far as points allowed, not really any other team came close. They were all in the low 200s as far as points allowed, which over a 16-game season, we're at 15 right now. You're looking at, you know, an average of in the 17-18 an average of 10-12 points a game. Really low point totals allowed. Baltimore, 24 interceptions as a team, 6 fumble recoveries. Tennessee, 20 interceptions, 11 fumble recoveries as a team. Steelers, 18 interceptions, 9 fumble recoveries as a team. Then you got a few other teams that you got to give credit to here. Tampa Bay, a solid defensive season, 21 picks, under 300 yard points allowed on the year. The Bears had a lot of interceptions. The Jets had a decent interception and fumble recoveries, but you know, a lot of points given up. And so it kind of depends on what your league, what categories your league depends on the most or has most taken out. You know, and then no surprise, really, some of the worst teams in the league have the worst defenses, teams like the Rams and the Chiefs, the Bengals. Then you got some, you know, surprising teams, you know, a team like, Packers had a pretty solid defense this year. But not a real good team overall. But then you got a team like, you know, the Redskins, poor defense this year. The Patriots, statistically, not a great defense. So, like I said earlier, my opinion on defenses is, you know, if you can have a chance early on to get a Baltimore, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, a team like that, you don't want to go too early in the draft. But if you do have a chance, hey, take them and ride with them all the way through. If you don't get one of the big teams there, wait it out. Find maybe a hidden gem, a team that has an easy schedule early on against some of the weaker offenses. Run with that team for a couple weeks. Mix and match a little bit. Check out the waiver wire. See who's playing St. Louis. See who's playing Cincinnati or whatever the team is that week. That's a way to do it from a defense standpoint. You know, there's some unbelievable games in the NFL this week from an NFL playoff standpoint. I think 10 of the 16 games have major playoff implications. And that's not even including Detroit, the Detroit-Green Bay game, which has no playoff implications, but major historical implications if Detroit can go 0-16. But some of the standout games, in my opinion, from a fantasy standpoint, Carolina at New Orleans. Can Drew Brees hit that 5,000-yard mark? Can D'Angelo Williams continue this run? Carolina's in the playoffs, but they could really get the number two seed with a win. Do they put the ball in D'Angelo Williams' hands? I love that game from a fantasy point of view. Seattle at Arizona. If it's true that Ken Whisenhunt plans to play all of his main guys this week, does Arizona go to town offensively against Seattle? Seattle, you know, maybe this will be an emotional letdown kind of week for them. Winning that game last week, the home finale, the Mike Holmgren home finale, but now maybe a bit of a letdown game. They have to travel. They're out of the playoffs. Maybe they don't really come to play all that much. And then another one that I'm looking at closely is Giants at Minnesota. Adrian Peterson, does he play? Have a strong game? I think maybe he does. Does Derek Ward, if he's playing instead of Brandon Jacobs, if you have a free agent pickup you need to make this week, maybe Derek Ward's your guy. So that's an interesting one as well. You know, as we wrap things up here on the Fantasy Lowdown, I'm struck by a few things in the world of fantasy sports this year. I talked about rookie running backs. It was the year of the rookie running backs. Tight ends. It was the year of depth at tight end. Tony Gonzalez was the stud, but you could get a guy like a John Carlson, a Greg Olsen, Vicente Shanko, guys later on. That kind of stands out to me. And then a quarterback. I remember talking way back at the beginning of the year, like when Tom Brady goes down and Matt Castle steps in. So many backups get their opportunities and got their opportunities this year. And you've got like Matt Castle, who steps in out of nowhere and becomes really almost consistently a top 10, top 12 fantasy QB week in and week out. Tyler Thigpen, who in my opinion had a productive year, coming in, taking over for Brody Croyle and Damon Heward, and has a promising year. I mean, there might be some promise there with him. Then you've got the major, major disappointments. The guys who get benched or injured early on, Alex Smith, you know, Vince Young, who starts the season as a starter and just is miserable. So those three things really stand out to me when I think back on this year in fantasy football is the variations at quarterback and how the guys who going into the season you think are going to be the studs and then the guys who are at the end of the year, the disparity there, the discrepancies there is really unbelievable, hard to predict, some because of injury, some because of poor performance. The rookie running backs and how many of them there were who proved to be week-in, week-out starters, and then how much depth there was at tight end. You didn't have to worry if you didn't get Antonio Gates, Tony Gonzalez. You did not have to worry. A few tips as you're starting right away to plan out your keepers. Keep running backs. Keep young running backs is the way I feel. I think a guy like Matt Forte, 5 years from now, may be a guy who quickly fades because of the heavy workload he's going to have early in his career. But if you have Matt Forte, that's a guy you want on your fantasy team next year because you know he's going to, if he got the carries in year one, he's going to get them in year two and continue to produce, in my opinion. If you've got guys like Steve Slayton, Chris Johnson, Jonathan Stewart, you're going to want to keep them too, but you're going to want to understand that their numbers might not be all that much different next year because of how much those teams thrived on having those duos at running back. Keep that in mind. Quarterbacks, there are only a handful of quarterbacks that I say you can keep or that you should keep. Rodgers, Breeze, Rivers, Cutler. Those are really the studs right there who you know are going to knock decline next year because you're going to be on the same team. They got some of the same wideouts coming back. You're going to really want to keep those guys. Excuse me, not so much some of these others like Matt Castle, Tyler Thigpen. You're not going to really want to keep them. And real quick, a wide receiver, it's all about Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall is your key wide receiver keeper. He's going to have maybe the best quarterback of next year, throwing the ball to him in Jay Cutler. He's a rising star, and he had big numbers this year. I really like Brandon Marshall for next year. So those are a few quick tips. The gang here, Jason, Dan, I thank them very much for all the help that they had this year. And we've already started discussing how we're going to produce some shows in the offseason. So be sure to check out Patriots.com. We'll have some information on that as we go ahead. I feel like it's been a great, successful first year of the Fantasy Lowdown. We had some great guests, some great emailers, and we hope we helped. It was email-driven. We had some fun. People pretend to think that I'm an expert, call me a geek and all that. I just try to give my thoughts, and that's all we do. I'm Brian Lowe. This has been the Fantasy Lowdown. We thank you very much for listening in, and we'll see how far the Patriots go here in the playoffs. And good luck to you if you're in your Fantasy League Championship in Week 17. Have a great day. Slipping into the future.